This is Carolyn Cromings, and welcome to the Quit Getting Screwed podcast, where we talk about everything related to contractors, construction, and information to help you run better businesses. Hey guys, and welcome to the Quit Getting Screwed podcast. And today I have with me the very famous John King of JK Welding. I don't know if you've checked out his stuff or not, but he is huge on LinkedIn and Instagram and is a very talented artist and does some great work. So you need to check that out. Good morning, John. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. I'm very fine. Thank you. Thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, thank you so much for coming. I've been watching your work for a long time on Instagram and LinkedIn. It's really impressive.
Thank you.
It really is an art, and you know, from the big cross on the 18-wheeler to all the different things that you do, it's really, really impressive.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
So how did you get into the field of welding, and tell us about how you got your start?
You know, it started out in 1990. Now I'm showing my age, of course. You know, but I took it up really quick and had a big interest into the welding and fabrication. And I had an attraction into that blue light, you know, that blue light that welding produces. It caught my eye, and I couldn't get enough of it. You know, I kept on and on and just loved every minute of it. Every aspect of welding, I just took a liking to it and just carried on.
So were you introduced in high school? Did you take classes after high school?
No, I didn't take any classes. I didn't go to any schools. I didn't take it in high school. It felt like a natural knack to me when I started doing it, you know. It just fell right into place, you know, like a puzzle. You know?
There's no doubt when you fall into your calling, it feels like home.
Yeah, it's always felt like home.
I think there's very few people that ever realize that, and that's too bad because it is really like, oh, this is what I'm here to do.
Yeah.
So what brought it to your attention? Were you working? Did you see somebody else doing it?
Yeah, it inspired me to see how things are built from small to something so much bigger. That enticed me, you know, that inspired me that I wanted to do what these guys are doing, you know, and more, you know. And that's the same thing that I try to do today, you know, as we'll get into other things as well later on as far as inspiration of inspiring other kids, you know, kids that are in welding school. But I didn't go to welding school. Welding school wasn't available. You know, that wasn't known back, you know, 30 years ago. Welding school was showing up on time, working with some old man that knew welding, that you probably would capture a hard time listening to or trying to learn from, because back in those days, it was seen more protective, you know, that type of knowledge of being a, you know, a guy that can weld and fabricate very well. That information was somewhat more protected back then than it is now. You know, it's just the way it was with the older guys back then. You know? So,
well, that was their livelihood. You know,
it was.
They didn't want to make you too good at what you did, because then it would take work from them, right?
Well, exactly, and I experienced that a lot myself throughout the years.
So you learned a lot through a lot of the welders. Trial and error.
A lot of the welders I worked with over the years were of much more of age than I was. You know, when I was 26, I was working with guys in their mid-50s and mid-60s. Mm-hmm. So I learned the old school way from the older guys. That's how it was for me.
That's awesome. So tell me how you turned this passion into a business.
Well, you know, in 2004, I needed to create an additional income in my house, and I did something to create income that I love. You know, I love welding and fabrication. So started doing things out of my garage, you know, like horse stalls, horse stables, cattle crossings, cattle guards, gates, horse insemination, artificial insemination stalls, swing stalls, all kind of stuff like that. But I did a lot of stuff on the side. And after about a year and a half, I was burning the candle at both ends. I had to make a decision because I was getting tired really quick after a year and a half. You know, you wouldn't think so. You sit there, sit back and think, you know, year and a half, that's not very much time, but it actually is. When you're running 16 and 18 hours a day, it's a lot, you know. So I made a decision on May 1st, 2005 to take the leap of faith and quit my job at the manufacturing plant here in Houston and off of 290. Called Cameron Ironworks. That's the street name for it, but everybody knows it as that name. But I left there, and I never looked back, not one second. I don't regret any of my decisions, and I was happy to leave.
That's awesome. That's amazing. And so then how was like your first couple years in business? Did you figure it out right away? Did you learn some important lessons that you could share with, you know, future upcoming people in the business?
Well, it's always a learning every day. Even today is still learning. You know, you can never know enough, you know. You learn more and more about yourself and more about your people and your business and how to conduct yourself and put things in place to help protect yourself and become more successful, you know. But in the first couple of years, you know, I actually physically worked and welded in the shop along with the guys, you know, for many years. But also at the same time, answering phones, doing emails, I mean, talking on the phone underneath the welding hood while I'm welding stuff. You know, it's I was kept on doing all that kind of stuff. But I got to the point where more and more work was coming in, so I had to be the one to, you know, quote the jobs and order the material, and it got me out of the shop a lot more and had to hire more guys that be more responsible for actually producing the jobs and manufacturing the jobs. So did pretty well. And then in 2008, which was only 3 years into my business, is when Hurricane Ike came to Houston and destroyed the Kima Boardwalk in Kima, Texas. And we were very blessed to be awarded that job, and that was a 7-month job. So that was really a big milestone for JK Welding. We went from literally 10 guys to 30 guys overnight and rebuilt the entire Kima Boardwalk down in Kima.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's an amazing story. And so I can see it in my own business too, as you transition into more of a business owner as then to running the business, do you miss that part? Do you miss being out in the shop?
No, I do. I do. And there's a lot of me, and there's a lot of times where I want to actually go do some of that, you know, but I know as soon as I start, it's not going to be able to finish, so it's going to just, like, piss me off, you know. So I'm going to have to go answer the email or go to a meeting or talk on the phone or quote a job or order material or something like that, you know. So
be on a podcast or...
Yeah, a podcast or something like that, you know. Yeah, you never know about podcasts.
Well, everybody's sharing information this way. And so then I have another question. As a business owner, I can see it myself sometimes and other companies, is that you have a hard time letting go of that control because it's not going to be as good as what you've done. I mean, do you feel like, you know, your guys are great in the shop, but they're still only 80% of what you could do? Have you faced that, you know, that fear of letting go the work?
I do face that, but I face that a lot more in the past than I do now. I'm not saying that doesn't happen now, but yes, it was a lot more frequently thought back, you know, in the earlier days, you know, especially if I was out there with them, you know. It still happens now, but the guys that we have now, we've gone through the weeds and we've separated the boys from the men throughout the last 15 years, where we really have a really good, a very skilled and experienced crew of men now. So we don't experience that as often as we should. You know, there's one or two guys out of the shop every now and then you think, man, what the hell is taking you so long? You know, you think that, you know, but that doesn't happen near as often as they used to, no.
So do you think it's they changed or you changed? I'm curious.
No, it's the selection of the men of the skill levels that we have hired. I may have adapted a little bit, but for the most part, I would say 90% of the reasoning behind it is because the men that we have are very skilled and very experienced, and they're very fast. So we are on the upper pay scale. So we, with that said, we are permitted and allowed and require the guys to be more skilled based upon the pay, you know. So, you know, you get what you pay for, right? That's what we say.
So it pays to have a great team.
Yeah, a great team. It pays to have a great team.
You know, even though it costs more, and I think the same way. You know, especially when a person comes in asking for a certain salary or what they think they should make. If you come too far off of that, you're just starting off on the wrong foot. And either they can prove that they're worth it or not. And I really, you know, I like to give everybody a chance, but especially good people are definitely worth investing time and money into.
Skilled welders are not cheap, but you ought to try a cheap welder. It'll cost you more in the long run.
Yeah, you have to redo the work.
That's right, redo.
And so are you seeing a lot of people coming up in welding, or is there a drop off?
No, there's a lot of people coming up in welding more now than ever, I feel, because there's a lot of activities and competitions, and there's just all the social media that allows you to be somewhat familiar and see what it's about. So they have an interest. It draws an interest through the phone. But also there's a lot of welding schools now, welding labs and stuff like that, that they're more around now than they used to be back, you know, 10 or 15, 20 years ago. You know?
Mm-hmm. So why is it important to you to share your knowledge with the next generation?
Oh, well, you want it to go on, you know. You want to inspire someone. First of all, it makes me feel good, and second of all, it allows someone to grow into something. And there's nothing more exciting than seeing a young kid or a young person, whether it be a guy or a girl, to get into welding and fabrication and really become someone, you know. And it's just fun to see the people grow up and take into a role that is just fascinating, you know. It's kind of like your own kids. That sometimes you hate to see them grow up, but they do well, and you're proud of them, you know. So when you inspire someone and they do well, it makes you feel good, you know. So that's why I do it.
I agree. And so what kind of programs are you involved in to carry this on?
Well, I'm really involved in Texas High School Welding Series. They put on over 20 welding competitions a year. And they elect different schools from different areas to come and compete at certain locations at different schools or different welding schools. You know, we'll get 20 or 25 different schools to come to Arc Labs Welding School. That's an actual large welding school here in Houston. We'll bring all the kids there, and we'll do different categories, different levels. And each kid can sign up for each level they want to participate in and see how well they do in the welding. Then we give out prizes and awards. And I'm very involved with Texas High School Welding Series. I really like it. It's good for the kids. It's good experience. And it's a lot of fun.
Awesome. Do you see a lot of girls coming into it? I'm curious.
You know, I see some girls. Yeah, there are a few girls. There's probably 5% girls that attend. But there's been a couple of years where girls have come in and kicked the boys' butt. And I'll be honest with you. And,
I'm just curious.
Years ago, I had picked out one girl that I thought would win. And she came in and she just raked it all in. She kicked everybody's butt. You know, she did very well. She did
That's
very
awesome.
Well.
I would love to see more girls as a mom.
I support the girls, yeah. I support the girls, yeah. That's good.
Especially, I know welding has a lot of practical application, but from what I've seen, it also has a lot of artistic application.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It has both. It all depends on, welding is an art, and we consider that everything we do here at JK Welding a piece of art, you know. We don't consider just welding, but it takes a steady hand, a lot of patience, and a lot of creativity, thinking out of the box. I mean, you can go to so many different levels with welding and fabrication. It's not even funny, you know. We've experienced some of those levels here at JK Welding. Mm-hmm. We've done a lot.
Tell me about the big cross project. I saw it. That was amazing. Yeah.
The cross project was very interesting. It's 34,000-pound cross. It's 24 foot wide and it's 45 foot tall. It's located in Katy, Texas. We did it for a church, Katy Fellowship Community Church. We actually designed the concrete pad and poured it and designed the cross and engineered it and fabricated it, delivered it, and installed it all in about 6 weeks.
Oh, wow. That's
a very interesting cross. And they like us, and there's such a mutual friendship there and understanding. They like our work. We're still doing work for them now. We actually laser cut 66 plates with Bible verses out of the plate and mount them in the prayer park. The 66 plates that we're cutting is because there's 66 books in the Bible.
Gotcha.
So we're actually cutting out these Bible verses and placing them throughout the prayer park, and we're also building a 10-foot world globe for them right now as well.
Oh my gosh, amazing. Yeah. That sounds like a lot of fun. That sounds like the good part, like the fun part.
Oh, it is. It's all fun. It's a lot of fun, you know. A lot of the stuff that we do is done without drawings as well. That's a lot of fun, you know. Take the pirate ship we did for Royal Caribbean. We designed and built the whole thing over. No drawings, no prints, no
really?
Nothing.
That's
and then
amazing.
We shipped it to the Bahamas and put it together in the Bahamas, you know.
Did you get to go on that one personally?
No, we didn't get to go to the island and put it together, but we did everything else.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. So are you personally or your company working on any goals currently?
Well, my goals are one thing, is to inspire someone and change someone's life and to help somebody out, you know.
That's awesome.
Typically, most people's answers, I would think, are to see how much money they can make, you know. And don't get me wrong, money's important, but it's not the top of the list. Because when you start focusing on other things of inspiring people and marketing your company in the right way, the money will come automatically in itself, you know. So.
Well, that brings me to my next question. I know you have a huge following on social media, like 7,500 on LinkedIn, nearly 30,000 on Instagram, and you did that all by yourself.
That's correct.
What did you do? How did you do that? Tell me something.
It's a constant drive, I tell you. It's a lack of sleep. So we have 24,000 on Facebook, and you're right, 30,000 on Instagram. The list goes on and on. You know, now we're on TikTok now, and I actually was my marketing manager I hired 2 months ago. It was the first marketing person I've ever hired. I've done all my own marketing for the last 15 years. But she actually created a different Instagram page for me so I could put more ridiculous videos on there versus the one that for the company, because I feel reluctant to display or publicly display some of the videos that I like to make or do because of the crazy life that I live, you know. Sometimes the videos aren't permissible or it's not professional enough to put onto the company page. So
you made your own fun page?
Yeah, fun page, exactly what it is. So the check out the page, The King of Welding.
Okay.
That's the new Instagram page that we've created here. And you'll have a laugh, I promise you.
I'll look, definitely. I put your name in. That was the first thing that came up that I saw. And I was like,
The King of Welding, yeah.
Yeah, because I just did John King together.
Oh, yeah.
So you took the, over the last 15, you built quite a following on all the social platforms. Do you think that helps your business?
Absolutely, I'm it curious. Does. Absolutely. Any exposure, whether it's good or bad, is always good, you know? you know, there's no such thing as bad publicity or bad exposure in the public eye, you know? So increasing followers is, you know, it's important, but, you know, because you never know who's talking to who, and somebody might need something welded or fabricated or designed. They're like, hey, I saw this guy, or I know John King, or, you know, whatever, you know. You know, when we built the Ringing Singing Tree of Texas, which is the world's largest wind chime, it's located in Austin, Texas. And the guy I bought the pipe from goes to the church in Katy where I built the cross. So the reason why I got to build the cross is because the guy I bought the pipe from, I sent him a photo of what I was building, and he was intrigued and inspired by it. So when he went to church on Sunday, they wanted to build a cross. He raised his hand and said, I know a guy can build anything. You need to call John King.
Oh, my God.
So that one thing led to another, you know. So
that's amazing.
People knowing you and having connections and knowing what you do and putting your work out there, yes, it's important. It is important. It's very important because you never know where the next job's going to come from. You never know.
No, I agree. And doing your best, and you know, at least in having great customer service. How important is that to you and your company?
That is number one. That is number one. Yeah, customer service is so important. Don't get me wrong; the customer is always right. I mean that respectfully. You know, there are times where I'm sure most people have already done this or have experienced it. If not, you'll be in business long enough that you will.
Mm-hmm.
But customer is not always right. But customer service is most important, you know. Getting on time, under budget, and quality.
Well, and even if when there's a dispute with a customer, is they want to be heard and understood. And so if you'll just take the time to acknowledge the issue and say, okay, yes, we fell down, or here's what we're doing, I find that goes a long way.
Absolutely.
And like with me, being a lawyer, it happens all the time. And my main thing is I want to respond that same day, let you know I'm working on it. If there's an issue, I'm here. Because honestly, that's part of making a difference in somebody's life, even at that level, in what you do and a long-term relationship.
Absolutely.
So
yeah.
What pieces of advice could you give to the next generation of welders?
Well,
because I'm sure if anybody's interested, they're following you.
Yes, of course. Of course. You know, the best piece of advice I always start with is the fact of, and it really doesn't pertain to welders. It just pertains to people in life. You know, it's just showing up on time, being respectful, play well with others. But being creative has always been a helpful tool, no matter what trade you're in, but especially welding. So if you can be creative and show up on time, be respectful, never say no, always be helpful, man, you can go a long ways in life, no matter what you're doing, you know?
I agree. And I one of the things that I've been learning in my business is that there's no need to, like you said, the older guys did when you started welding, to hide the knowledge, right?
Yeah.
You can just put it out there and, you know, try to teach the next generation and use it so they can live better lives. And I think we're coming to a place like with podcasts and everything that it's all out there. You know what I'm saying? And the more you can put out there to help people, the better place that we'll be in.
Yes, it is true. But at the same time, everybody needs to know and understand that it's not about quantity of what you put out there. It's quality. Put out some quality stuff. Don't just post something or put something out there just to make a post, you know? Make it worth something. Make it worthwhile. You know? That's what I've always told.
I agree, and yeah, I mean, you've done some great stuff on yours.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
It's you know, like I said before you were a client of the firm's, I was following your page. I was just so impressed. So, anyways, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today, and telling your perspective and about all that you're doing to help the next generation.
Well, I thank you. I appreciate it. And I'm glad that you had me on the show. You can find me, John King, JK Weldon, or Trails West. You can Google any of that on any social media platform. Check out our websites as well. You can just Google my name and you'll see all the stuff that is affiliated and things that we do and that I do. So, but again, thank you for having me today. I really appreciate it.
We'll put that all in the show notes too.
Sounds good.
Good deal. All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Quit Getting Screwed. I hope you found it helpful. If you like what you hear, please like us and follow our podcast. If you want further information, you can find us at subcontractorinstitute.com. We're also on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. And the book is available on Amazon. Tune in 2 weeks from now for a new episode. Thank you.